Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and one of the things I love most about doing this show is discovering new and interesting things about art. Well, when it comes to music, the fun of discovery has never been lost on the Winston-Salem Symphony. Their discovery concerts for kids and their families are always packed with great learning experiences and fun. From the pre-concert instrumental petting zoos and meet-and-greets with orchestra musicians and conductors, to the inventive concert program themes like music and sports, the Wild West, and more, audiences are treated to an action-packed hour of fun. Then there's the music itself, performed by some of the region's finest classical musicians, and this weekend's Discovery Concert, Sunday afternoon, November 3rd, in Reynolds Auditorium, does not disappoint. Tricks and Treats, a hauntingly beautiful outpouring of ghoulish delight, will include the always scary Bach Toccata in Fugue in D minor. Mussorgsky's ever eerie Night on Bald Mountain, and many, many more spine-tingling tunes of this Halloween season. Plus, this Discovery Concert has special guests, Low and Lower. Cellist Brooks Whitehouse, Low, and bassist Paul Sharp, Lower, are the click and clack of chamber music, Mozart meets Mad Magazine, and then some. We'll hear from Paul and Brooks live in Studio A just about 5 minutes from now. Last week, Winston-Salem Symphony Associate Conductor Matthew Troy dropped by to set the scene for true musical discovery at this weekend's Discovery Concert.
The Discovery Series is a concert series that the Winston-Salem Symphony offers. It's something we've been doing for several years now, and they take place over at Reynolds Auditorium. And these are part of our family concert series, and this is just really a great way for families, kids in the community to get exposed to classical music in really a very, very fun and entertaining and engaging kind of way.
Yeah, and these concerts have been, at least the ones that I've experienced in the past, have been themed. I remember a Western theme and got to see you as a cowboy conductor.
That's right,
There have been sports. What have been some of the other ones, and then what do we got coming up?
We've had, in the past, we've had outer space concerts. We've had Dr. Seuss concerts. Typically, when I program these concerts, I don't actually start with the music first. I like to start with putting myself in the shoes of an 8 or 9 year old kid in the community, and I try to think about what would be the most fun, what would be kind of the coolest thing that's going on right now for kids, what do they get excited about, and that usually kind of steers me in a particular direction. So once I determine what that theme is that we want to focus on, then it's actually surprisingly easy to find music that fits in with that theme, and before you know it, you've got a really exciting, fast-paced program that's perfect for kids.
Yeah, and well, this one kind of breaking the mold, then I guess, in a theme, in a sense, because at the focus of this Discovery Series concert, a couple of string players.
That's right. It's a Halloween-themed concert, but we've got two musicians in the Winston-Salem Symphony, our principal cellist, Brooks Whitehouse, and our principal bassist, who are part of a duo that they call Low and Lower.
That's such a great name.
It's a great name, and Brooks Whitehouse and Paul Sharp, they just have such a great way of entertaining audiences and doing things that you have literally never seen done on the cello and on the bass before. First of all, they are virtuosos on their instruments, first and foremost, really incredible artist. Two of the funniest people that I maybe have ever met in my entire life. Really silly guys, and just have a great way of sharing their love for music, their love for humor through their stories, through their music, and just a great way to weave that together with a Halloween theme to do some fun things for this concert.
What can we expect in the course of this particular Discovery Series concert?
Well, we've got a really fun surprise to open up the concert with. I won't say too much about it because I want to tease the listeners out there, but let's just say that there's an exciting way that Brooks and Paul will be making their entrance for this concert. And then we move on from there to one of maybe the most famous Halloween pieces ever written. This is the Danse Macabre by Camille Saint-Saëns. This is a piece that was originally written for a solo violin to be played with the orchestra. However, we thought it might be fun to do something kind of crazy and do this for solo cello and solo bass. And so we have this wonderful and very entertaining kind of story that we've crafted to go along with this piece. And it's going to be really a one-of-a-kind presentation of this famous piece.
I'm sure it will be.
These concerts give parents an opportunity to spend time together as a family, doing something that not only the kids will enjoy, but also the parents will equally enjoy. The music is certainly the centerpiece of what we offer in these concerts. But in terms of the theme, in terms of what goes on before the concert, it really is an all-sensory experience for kids. Some of the activities that we have the hour prior to the concert, we have Cyworks joining us this time, who are going to be doing some activities based around the science of sound. We also have the Wake Forest Museum of Anthropology, who's going to be doing a Day of the Dead exhibit at the concert. We have the Musical Petting Zoo, supplied by the Community Music School. And we also, one of the all-time, you know, most famous Halloween pieces out there is Thriller by Michael Jackson. Oh, so yeah. We will also be having people teaching the Thriller dance in the lobby, and then that piece will show up on the program as well. So there's a lot of fun opportunity for audience participation.
And now, Low and Lower joins us live in Studio A. They're going to kick things off with their Gilbert and Sullivan-inspired modern music genius.
I am the very model of a modern music genius. I've information serial and polytonal aeneas. I know all the key signatures and mine is parallelius. I know that when Beethoven didn't bathe, he was the smelliest. I'm very well acquainted with matter shaker radical. I know how to apply to my department for sabbatical. I know that when musicians get together, there's an odium. Odium, odium, Got it. If they are forced to follow a baton upon a podium.
If they are forced to follow a baton upon a podium. If they are forced to follow a baton upon a podium. If they are forced to follow a baton upon a podium.
I understand important words like arco and agogical. I'm more or less conversant on all matters pedagogical. In short, in matters major, minor, modal, and millennius, I am the very model of a modern music genius.
In short, in matters major, minor, modal, and millennius, he is the very model of a modern music genius.
I am the very model of a modern music genius. I've played on all the instruments whose prices are obscenious. I've worked with Aaron Copland, Leonard Burns, and Amadori, and I know a guy who plays on a Pacat and a Sartori. Those are bows, by the way. I'm very well informed about the instrumental pedigrees. That's Sori Guadagnini and the Galliano family, Guarneri and Amati and the famous Stradivarius. Got it. That's not to be confused with Capricorn and Sagittarius. They're beautifully crafted and extremely light and portable. And did I also mention they're completely unaffordable? But still, in matters Mendelssohn and Mozart and Rossinius, I am the very model of a modern music genius.
In short, in matters Mendelssohn and Mozart and Rossinius, he is the very model of a modern music genius.
In fact, when I know what is meant by stretto and crescendo, and can deftly grasp the difference twixt colando and morendo, you see, colando is fading away, whereas morendo is dying out. When retrograde inversion needs defining, and I spit it out, when asked what should be done with Yanni's music, I say, sit it out. When I complain you're playing flat and call it tonal flatulence, when I have spammed the internet with tweets of self-congratulance, when I admit to knowing 97 good viola jokes. Got it. So these 200 violists are on a plane that gets hijacked. And the hijackers demand $1 million for each hostage. And with every hour that passes where the demands are not met, they release another violist. Now, let's see. Viola jokes. Ha! Got it. You'll stay on your patootie because the song, it isn't over, folks. Musical sophistication, I am quite the pinnacle, revered by every Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, and rabbinical. There's virtual consensus here, there is no in-betweenies. I am the very model of a modern music genius.
Oh my gosh, modern music genius. You heard it here, folks, and only here on Triad Arts Weekend. That was Brooks Whitehouse, cellist, and in this case, lyricist and bassist Paul Sharp, and both singing, chiming in with vocals. Absolutely hilarious stuff. And I got to say, right off the bat, going to the viola joke early on.
I would like to apologize here now to my colleague Sheila Brown at UNCSA, but we were trying to figure out, and you know, in writing these lyrics, what are the cheapest, dumbest things that somebody claiming to be a music genius would claim to know, and that, you know, that just came up.
So. Absolutely.
Well, from the end, so that's a little. What I love about this is there's so much like inside ball, but it's still funny. You know, there are a lot of music jokes in there. There's a dig at. I know how to apply for sabbatical. What is that line?
That's right. I know how to apply to my department for sabbatical. Yeah, that's right.
It must have been fun putting these lyrics together.
<That's right. laughs>
Paul, what are you thinking? I can't imagine. I mean, I've tried to divide my brain playing the piano left and right hand, but this is such a beast. What are you thinking of when you're performing this?
It's best if I don't think at all and just let it happen. Maybe there were three times where I remember thinking and I started to go, clenching, you know.
Wait a minute, I can't do this.
A thought cramp. Right.
Exactly.
I'm a flutist for crying out loud.
That's right.
How am I thinking?
But, you know, there's a lot of what we do that challenges us. I mean, you could pretty much say, oh, you're going to juggle on a recital, you know, in 2 weeks. And that's what it feels like, learning to juggle or, you know,
I was gonna ask
ride
that,
a unicycle.
Along the way, Brooks, I mean, do you ever think, wow, this may not fly?
Oh, yeah. Actually, just moments ago, I was thinking that very thought. It's interesting that most of the play and sing or play and talk stuff that we're used to is like a single person on guitar accompanying themselves. There are several singer-songwriters playing at the piano, you know. But I have to say there's a particular challenge to singing or talking. And we do some slower numbers where we're really singing away at the instrument and really trying to say something, really trying to make a phrase. And I have to say, when you're doing that with a bowed instrument, it's very hard to get a single sound out of your mouth.
I'm itching to hear more. What do you say? Can we get to some more rep from lower and lower?
Please.
What do we got cooking? What do you want to play?
We could do an excerpt from the Benda Sonata that we put this on the program to prove that Benda is not only a late night of debauchery and drinking, but is also actually a wonderful composer. And there's a sonata in F major.
Excellent. Well, we'll go with excerpts. Typically we like complete pieces on our station here, but today we're going to bend to the rules.
Oh, yeah.
I have a musical McNugget for you here. This is all right, here is the presto from Benda's Sonata in F major. This is bassist Paul Sharp, cellist Brooks Whitehouse, live in Studio A. Franz Benda's Sonata in F major. That was the presto, the concluding presto from that work. And bassist Paul Sharp and cellist Brooks Whitehouse. The way you all play it, I mean, it sounds so good. Really, no excuses for the bass anymore. You got to play it in tune and you nail it. You make it sound easy, Paul. Hats off.
Thank you.
Paul, that piece sounds so jaunty and fun. But what tell us about, share the challenges of making it sound that way. Because it really, it sounded so fluid as if you're... playing it on a violin, on a fiddle.
That's good. I really stress out over trying to make it sound easy and fun because it's very difficult. That piece particularly, I have to play up very high on some of my lowest strings to find fingerings to make work, and that's the kind of the throaty register of the bass.
And those are harder to press down, the thicker strings?
Yeah, they're harder to press down. They're big and flabby, you know? So it's like you're trying to find the string first and then get it down solidly, and it all happens in a millisecond, you know?
Yeah.
And then the bow has to grab it, too. So you've got to use some really stout rosin to make it pop, but then you still have to make it sound smooth.
Hey, let me back up there for the non-musician. Stout rosin, making it pop. What does it mean?
Well, bass rosin is a special category of rosin.
Oh, there's a cult. I've been enjoying watching this.
Absolutely. I mean, we were in Alaska last year on a tour, and we were talking about ski wax and bass rosin in kind of the same breath.
Oh, yeah. Do I use the blue or the green?
You know? Most bass players have a pouch of like six different rosins, and if the weather is, you know, cold and wet, you use a particular kind, but if it's just cold, then you got to go for the softer stuff, you know. It's glorified tree sap is all it is, but with special stuff added in. In fact, in the Winston-Salem Symphony section, there's a guy named John Spooler, who I'm sure many people know, teaches bass here at Wake Forest.
Sure.
He makes his own special brew of rosin, and we call it stick'em in the symphony. There's no other rosin that's stickier, in my opinion. It's great for the Mahler symphonies and the Brahms symphonies, Strauss, when you really want to get after it, you call John and say, hey, give me another one of those special cakes. He only cranks it out like once every 6 months, and he actually sends it out to people all over the nation.
So you put that rosin on your bow, on those horsehairs, and then what does it give you? What does it do?
Well, it just gives you like grit. Without the rosin, that hair just slides over the string. I mean, it's got some natural, the hair itself, bass players have to use unbleached, unrefined hair straight off the horse. Well, I assume it's been washed, of course.
Although I did smell something funny the other day.
It smelled like spring out there.
And we like Siberian hair is best because, the hair that comes off of those horses that live in cold climates, good, stout, thick hair.
Are you serious?
Oh, I'm totally serious.
How about that? Yeah. No quarter horse for you. Okay,
that's
good to know. I've got to have more. In the name of great fun, a piece involving weather that you all do, can we hear a snippet of that?
Sure.
Be delighted.
Yeah, love to. This is Song of the Weather. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Get ready to laugh. And this is, once again, we've got Brooks Whitehouse on cello and bassist Paul Sharp live in Studio A here on Try It Arts Weekend.
January brings the snow, makes your feet and fingers glow. February's ice and sleet. The toes right off your feet. Welcome March with wintry wine. Would thou wert not so unkind. April brings us sweet spring showers. On and on for hours and hours. Farmers fear unkindly May. Frost by night and hail by day.
Who wrote that piece?
Flanders and Swann, the duo from England in the 50s.
Yeah.
And one of them was a pianist, and both of them sing.
You guys always have your antenna out there for more stuff. When did you come up with the idea for this one for you?
That's
guys?
From my father. My father actually worked for public radio for many, many years in Anchorage, Alaska. Uh-huh. And he has an extensive record collection. A quarter of it is probably organ music. He just loves pipe organ music. Then the rest, you know, symphonic music and chamber music. And then, of course, he has a large section for humor as well. And he would drag out this Flanders and Swann album, and we would listen to it, you know, in the cold, dark nights in Alaska in the middle of winter, and listening to these old English guys singing this song about the weather. So it's always stuck with me. And, you know, just in thinking creatively about things that a low and lower might be capable of or might want to try, that came up. We were on tour in Alaska, and Brooks was staying in my basement looking at all of the albums down there. So, you know, naturally, these things came up and we had to try it.
The Winston-Salem Symphony Discovery Concert, an hour of fun, discovery, and great music for the whole family, is Sunday afternoon, November 3rd in Reynolds Auditorium. Tricks and Treats will feature the hilarious and virtuosic string duo Low and Lower performing solo works, Camille Saint-Saëns' devilish Danse Macabre, and a few surprises. Also on the program, Mussorgsky's Night on Bald Mountain, scary pop music, film scores, and more. Matthew Troy leads the Winston-Salem Symphony. There'll be lobby fun beginning at 2 o'clock with instrumental petting zoo, costumes, and more, and the performance begins at 3. You'll find links to ticket information and more at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and when we come back, we'll help celebrate the Winston-Salem Youth Chorus's fabulous 20th anniversary season ahead of their big concert at the Stevens Center, and then it's time to roll up our sleeves and experiment with art, transdisciplinary play, and along the way, we'll gain some new insights into the importance of hybrid forms, all in a day's work for transmedia artist Lynn Book and poet, experimental fiction writer Amy Catanzano, next when Triad Arts Weekend continues.